Let's open our Bibles this morning. Take them out and open them to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. And today I want to talk to you about a very, it's a very applicable and practical subject to each one of us. but it's a very difficult one. In fact, I really have prayed over this sermon because I'm worried that what I want to share with you today is so difficult that most of us just kind of, blow it off and say, well, I can't do that because that's just too difficult. I just am not wired that way. And the truth is that you are not wired this way, but that by the grace of God in your life and through Christ Jesus in you, you can be the person that God created you to be. You know, this morning I was reading the Baptist Standard. It's our state Baptist newspaper. It was on my desk. I hadn't been in for a couple of days. We went down and helped move our daughter. And so I was just kind of looking through it, and there was an article in there about the fact that belief in God is pretty well steady in the United States. That 92% of Americans claim to believe in God. Only 8% would say, no, I don't believe in God, or I'm not sure. So there's 8% agnostic or atheist, and 92% of Americans say, I believe in God. The question is, what do you believe about God, or what God do you believe in? And what is this God able to do? What we do, or what we practice, is something called theology. Theology is talking about God or thinking about God, and everybody does it. Everybody here is a theologian to some extent or another. In fact, everybody in this world is. But talking about God and the things about God are very difficult for us, or understanding those things, because God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In fact, it is impossible for us to know God or to come to have a relationship with God unless God Himself revealed Himself to us. And the clear teaching of Scripture is that this is exactly what God has done. That the reason you can know God and the ways of God and the things of God, the reason that your life can be transformed by His power, is because He has chosen to reveal Himself to you. And He's done that in Christ Jesus. So God reveals Himself. But the problem still in understanding the ways of God and in following those ways is we've got a problem with nature. Okay, now listen to me, please, very carefully. God has a different nature than human beings. Your nature is not God's nature, and God's nature is not yours. Human nature is the sinful nature. We are created in sin. We are born in sin. We are sinners by nature. The reason we've got to have salvation by grace is because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is your nature. Every sinner in here, just raise your hand if you would, please. And every hand ought to be up because we've all sinned. We are sinners by nature. God, on the other hand, is sinless. He is holy. He is divine by nature. And what it means to be a Christian is to take the things of God and have them not just applied to our lives, but actually to take on the very nature of God. And this is why being a Christian is so difficult when you try to do it in and of yourselves. In fact, it's impossible because you can't even come close to the divine nature except God's power within you. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've been preaching this series of sermons on As the Good Book Says. And this week, As the Good Book Says, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Now that statement speaks of those two natures. To err is human, that's the human nature. To sin, to fall short of the glory of God, that is the human nature. But to forgive, which is the epitome or the essence of the divine love of God, to forgive is divine. Is that in the Bible? To err is human, to forgive divine? Well, no, it's not. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand because I know most of you wouldn't one way or another. You wouldn't try to admit it one way or another because you think I'm trying to trick you. I'll just tell you, it's not in the Bible. To err is human, to forgive divine is not in the Bible, but it It is a biblical principle. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to talk about the divine nature of God as it applies to us in forgiveness. And I'd like to ask you to do something for me as we look at the text. I want you to make a fist. Everybody just make a fist, and I want you to squeeze it tightly. And I want you to hold it as long as you can through this sermon. Don't forget now, just sit there with your fist made. Use your other hand to, and we'll get to this, we'll come back to this in a minute. Just hold your fist as tightly as you can. Matthew chapter 5 begins the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching kingdom principles to earthly people. He's talking to people who have this sin nature. He's talking to people just like you and me who can't ever seem to get it right. We always fall short of the glory of God. And he's talking about the divine nature or who and what God is and how that applies to us as human beings. And so the Sermon on the Mount is all about how a human being or what a human being needs to do to live the divine nature of God. And this is one of the reasons that obeying the Sermon on the Mount or carrying it out is so very difficult. Because again, you've got the human nature which is sin and the divine nature which is holy. And forgiveness. And this is very clearly seen in the passage I want to read to you this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse 38 of Matthew 5. And we're going to talk about forgiveness, although the word forgive is not found in this text. That's what the topic is. And so in verse 38, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth." That's human nature. "But I tell you," and here's the divine nature, the other side of the coin. "Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That is the human nature. "But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." And praise God that that's true. "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" In other words, that's what everybody does. That's human nature, to love those who love you. Verse 47, "And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that?" So here's the bottom line. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That is, shed your human nature, take on the divine nature, be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His Word. Now, immediately when you begin reading that text, you see the difference between the human and divine nature. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's the human nature. In fact, those words are biblical. It's found in the Law of Moses. In Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, three different times Moses reiterates this. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. And actually in Moses' day, it was a graduation from what they had been doing. Because what is human nature? Human nature is to get even, right? If someone hits you, hit them back. In fact, that really isn't, it's not just get even, it's get ahead, right? If someone hurts you, hurt them back and hurt them worse. If somebody does something, don't just stand by and take it and put up with it. You've got a right. You take care of whatever it is that you need to take care of. Take care of yourself. That's human nature. So, human nature is eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And Jesus said, but let me give you the divine nature. The divine nature is turn the other cheek. Now again, the word forgiveness is not there, but that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. He said, if you're going to live this divine nature, When you're injured, when you're hurt, when you're wronged, don't seek retribution. Seek reconciliation. That's God's nature. Now, again, that's not human. In fact, I'll tell you again, the way I've struggled with this particular sermon is to say that, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, yeah, we all understand that. Turn the other cheek. Man, most of us are sitting here going, I can't do that. In fact, that doesn't make any sense, because if I turn the other cheek, they're just going to hit me on the other cheek. That's just craziness. I mean, how in the world can we do anything like that? This isn't even practical. But it's the divine nature of God. And if we're going to truly be children of God, we've got to live like it. Because to be a child of God is not just to believe something about God. It's actually to take on the divine nature of God. And so, to err is human, to forgive divine. Human nature is to hurt one another, to sin against God and against others. Divine nature is to forgive. In fact, let me just give you a couple of verses of Scripture. In Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, it says, If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Now, did you get that? You see, God could keep a record of wrongs. And he could seek divine retribution. But he says, with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. That is the divine nature. In Ephesians 1, 7, the scripture says, in him, meaning in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the abundance or the riches of his grace. In other words, God is a God of grace. And he has this grace in overabundance, in riches, in richness, and he pours it out upon us, and the way we receive it is through forgiveness. God's nature is to forgive. And I want you to understand now, I've got to talk to you for just a minute about what exactly forgiveness is. And I've got to share with you the three aspects of forgiveness, because if you get these things mixed up, there's a lot of confusion about forgiveness. And we're never going to be able to take on this divine nature and actually live it out, which is God's plan for us, if we don't understand how forgiveness works. And so let me just give you these three aspects of forgiveness. The first one is this. Theologians call this first part judicial forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness. Everybody get that? In fact, let's all say that together. Judicial forgiveness. I just want you to say it because I want a little bit of response. Everybody's kind of looking at me with glazed looks now. What in the world is he talking about? Judicial forgiveness is the eternal forgiveness of God for all of our sin. We receive this forgiveness by the grace of God because of the blood of Jesus. And at the moment of salvation, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you stand before God forgiven. Now understand, you are still a guilty sinner. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're guilty of sin. But when we receive the judicial forgiveness of God, the eternal forgiveness, we stand before Him not guilty. That is, He looks at us and takes our sin, puts our sin on Jesus, who is our substitute in death. And we receive His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And so what happens is we come into a right relationship with God. And so judicial forgiveness is all about the relationship that you receive in Christ Jesus when you stand forgiven by God for all your sin, past sin, present sin, future sin. Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your sin from you, declareth the Lord. And so what God does is judicially, He declares us not guilty like a judge. He takes our sin away and all of our sin is forgiven. Now, beloved, understand this. Because you stand forgiven of all of your sin and you're put in a right relationship with God, you can never lose this forgiveness. This is the reason we talk about once saved, always saved. Because once you, there's something called double indemnity. You cannot be condemned again for sin you've already been forgiven of. And if you've been forgiven of all your sin, then you can never be unforgiven, so you can never lose your salvation. And so, thank you, sister. Praise God! You stand forgiven in Him once and for all. This is judicial forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, the Scripture says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. Did you get that? Not counting men's sins. What was He doing? Reconciling us to Himself. And so now, because of this forgiveness, we have a right relationship with God. Got that? That's judicial forgiveness. Second thing is what theologians call paternal forgiveness. Now, paternal forgiveness is, and that word paternal means fatherly, it's the forgiveness of a father to a child. Now, a father and child have a relationship, right, that can never be severed. I will always be my father's son. Nothing can keep that from happening. Once you become a child of God, you remain a child of God for eternity. But a father also must correct and discipline and forgive his children. So paternal forgiveness is the forgiveness that we receive when, after we've been saved, we still continue to sin against God. And we've all sinned and we're all sinners. And so you're a Christian and you don't understand this. I thought I'm supposed to live right, and the devil comes in and he starts accusing you. But what happens is you continue to sin. And all sin is against God. So what God must do then is He must forgive us fatherly or paternally. And what this does is it restores the fellowship with God. Now notice this. After you're saved, you have a relationship with God. All sin is forgiven. Now that you sin, your relationship is not broken, but your fellowship with God is broken. And when your fellowship with God is broken, then you must receive the paternal forgiveness of God to restore that fellowship. Now understand this. Judicial forgiveness, once and for all of our sin, is dependent on nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not anything you do, it's just what you receive. There's no conditions upon you to do something to receive the judicial forgiveness of God. But the paternal forgiveness of God has two conditions. What are those two conditions? First one is, you must confess your sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John wrote, if we confess, notice the if there, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the forgiveness He's talking about there is paternal forgiveness, because He's talking to Christians. He's not saying that you need to be forgiven again to be saved again. He's saying that you need to be cleansed. And so how does that come about? Well, first of all, you must come and confess. If you do not confess your sin before God, the implication is that paternally, He cannot forgive that, and the fellowship between you and God cannot be restored. That's the first condition. You must confess your sin. What's the second condition? You must forgive others who sin against you. Now we're getting to the hard part. Because before this, we've just been talking about our relationship with God. Sure, I can receive God's forgiveness judicially and stand before Him clean by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saved once and for all. All my sins forgiven. Now I continue to sin. All right, I can come back to God and I can confess my sin to Him. And I can be forgiven. It's just between me and God. And that fellowship restored, that's not that big of a deal. As long as I admit I'm a sinner. But now we come to the hard part. Now, in order to be forgiven, I must forgive others who hurt me. Is that right? In order to be forgiven, and we're talking about this paternal forgiveness to restore the fellowship with God, I must forgive others. Well, you know, this is exactly what Jesus said. If you go on a little bit further here in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, Jesus teaches on prayer. And He says, He gives us the model prayer, and He says, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And what's this? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, did you get that? Listen very carefully. He says, forgive us our debts. And we're talking about those who have a relationship with God now. forgive us our debts in the same way that we forgive one another. In fact, this is the one part of this prayer that Jesus goes on to reiterate in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. He says, "But if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sin," watch this, "your Father will not forgive your sin." Now, he's talking about that paternal forgiveness. You're eternally saved by the forgiveness of God, but the fellowship is broken by your own sin, and that can only be forgiven paternally as you confess and forgive others. This is the third aspect of forgiveness that we call personal forgiveness. So you've got judicial forgiveness, sin forgiven for all time. You've got paternal forgiveness, that is a father forgiving a child his sin, God forgiving you after you're saved your sin. Personal forgiveness is you forgiving someone who has wronged you. The personal forgiveness is the act whereby a person releases another of a hurt or a sin. And beloved, you need to understand this is an act of your will. This is something you determine to do. It's something you decide to do. It is a release in which you say to the person who has offended you or hurt you, you say, I do not hold this against you anymore. I will not seek retribution and I'm not going to bring it up anymore. Now listen to me. You will never be acting more like God than when you forgive those who hurt you. And because we're all sinners, we're going to hurt one another. And this happens in the church, and it happens outside the church. And let me tell you something, beloved. If you fail to forgive others who hurt you, listen to what Jesus said. Your sins won't be forgiven. And sin comes between you and God. It breaks fellowship. The reason that so many believers are walking through this world just heads down, so discouraged and distraught and can't figure out what's going on, it's because they got that fist balled up because somebody did something to me and I just can't let it go. And God says, well, you just don't really understand about forgiveness yet, do you? And when we fail to forgive others, then the forgiveness of God cannot cleanse us and make us to what He wants us to be. And so because this is so critical, I want to use the last part of this sermon just to talk to you about this personal forgiveness. And again, my prayer is that we might not just experience it, but do it. I mean, because the more I thought about this, the more I prayed about it. And the more I studied this text this week, and I recognized that what Jesus is saying here is humanly ridiculous, but it is divinely inspired, I guess. So, personal forgiveness. You stand forgiven before God. You continually be forgiven as you come back to Him in confession and in forgiveness yourself. So let's just talk for a minute about this personal forgiveness. And there's just a couple of things that you need to understand about it. Because it is not human. It is divine. To err is human, to forgive divine. So here's these three things. First of all, this. Personal forgiveness is costly. When you choose by the act of your will to forgive someone who has hurt you, it costs something. So Jesus says here, now you've heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, right? Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. And again, that's biblical. He says, but I tell you, he said, let me give you the divine side of this. If someone strikes you on one cheek, then what I want you to do is turn the other cheek. Now, if you choose to turn the other cheek, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you, first of all, the opportunity to seek revenge. It's going to cost you the opportunity to get back. And this is exactly Jesus' point. It is costly to forgive. And let me just give you a couple of examples. a lot of us in here are parents, and our children do things that not only displease us, they hurt us deeply sometimes. They say things, and they do things, and maybe we say things and do things to them. What does it cost you to forgive your child? You see, it's one thing just to say, well, honey, all right, I love you and I forgive you. But what does that cost you? All forgiveness costs something. It costs hurt. It costs pain. Let me give you a little clearer example. Let's take Mike down here, for example. Now, he's a friend of mine. And if I were to come to Mike and say, Mike, could I borrow $100? Well, would you loan me $100? That's not that big. In fact, let's make it a little bit. Mike, I need to borrow $10,000. Would you loan me $10,000? Well, yeah, I know you love me, so you would do it. So Mike loans me $10,000. Hey, you can just leave the money on my desk after the service. Thank you. Now, what if for whatever reason I decided I wasn't going to pay Mike back? And so I just said, hey, man, I'm just not paying back. Sorry, you know. I can't do it, not going to do it, whatever. Now, Mike has one of two courses. Number one, he could seek retribution. He could either take me to court or he could come over to my house one dark night and take it out of my hide, you know, as he drug me out or whatever. Or he could choose to forgive the debt. Now, if Mike forgave me the debt, how much would it cost him? Well, at the very minimum, it would cost $10,000. I mean, for him to just say, done, I don't hold it against you, not going to seek retribution, not going to bring it up again, it would cost him at least $10,000. Beloved, all forgiveness costs something. All of it does. How much did it cost God to forgive you of your sin? You see, we talk about free grace, and oftentimes, and by the way, grace is free. Completely, totally, 100%. And we talk about this free grace, but sometimes we treat it so cheaply. Let me tell you something. The grace of God in your life costs God the blood of His Son Jesus. It is very, very costly grace, even though we receive it freely. The forgiveness of God costs something. All forgiveness does. But He paid it willingly. Because this is what the divine nature does. He paid the price for our sin willingly. But beloved, don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever think that it's cheap. To forgive someone who has hurt you or wronged you means you've got to be willing to pay the cost. And forgiveness is very costly. If you're going to act with the divine nature, child of God, you've got to be willing to pay the cost. But it doesn't just end there. Not only is forgiveness costly, it's risky. It is risky. Think about it again. So Jesus said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Now let's just admit again, that is not human. And what is the risk of turning the other cheek? The risk is that they're going to hit you again. Now notice that Jesus didn't say, turn the other cheek if they say they're sorry, if they ask for forgiveness, if they repent. If someone strikes you on the cheek and they come to say, hey, man, I made a mistake, I ask you to forgive me, then Jesus said, turn the other cheek. No, He said, if someone strikes you, no matter what, and again, this is humanly nuts, it's crazy. But Jesus said, if someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. And the risk is that they're going to be unrepentant, and they're still going to be whatever is there that was there before is still going to be there, and they're going to smack you on the other side. Do you understand? Forgiveness is a great risk. And God took the risk. In fact, what makes forgiveness so difficult for us is, humanly speaking, is this risk. Because if a person, if I came to Mike and said, Mike, you know, I borrowed that and I can't repay it. Man, will you forgive me? And could you forgive the debt? You know, it'd be hard for Mike. It's going to cost him something. But you know, he might go ahead and willingly forgive me because he loves me again. But what if I was just defiant? What if I just said, ha, I fooled you, man. You trusted me. And I said, hey, by the way, I need another $10,000. Can I borrow another $10,000? Now, do you understand? forgiveness on a human level is just crazy. It's just nuts. It doesn't work out. How can you forgive someone who is unrepentant? But the problem we have is we mistake reconciliation with forgiveness. Reconciliation takes two. In order for two to be reconciled who have been estranged, one of them's got to ask for forgiveness and the other one's got to give it. Reconciliation takes two. Beloved, listen to me. Forgiveness just takes one. Forgiveness just takes you determining that you're going to forgive. It takes the one who has been hurt deciding that they're going to not seek retribution and to give this up. And beloved, true forgiveness is offered with the risk. True forgiveness is offered whether there's repentance or not. Did God take the risk to forgive you? You know, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the Scripture says that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, just think about that for a second. At the beginning of creation, Scripture says Jesus was the Lamb slain. That is, this was all part of God's plan. Anyway, this was before you ever came along. In fact, Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years before you ever committed your first sin. But He died for your sin. Was that a risk? Did God take the risk when He gave His Son Jesus? He freely offered forgiveness. What if nobody accepted it? Do you understand? Forgiveness is risky business. And let me give you one final thing about forgiveness. It's love. When you forgive, you're acting out the love of God. So Jesus says down in verse 43 of our text, He said, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That's human nature, isn't it? Anybody in here love your enemy? Let's talk about the Muslim, the Arab Muslim people for just a second. Anybody in here have a deep, abiding love for Arab Muslims? What if we got an imam in here this morning and, you know, he talked about death to America. Hate all Americans. Kill them all. How many of us would say, you know, I love that man? See how opposite this is from human nature? So you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But now let me tell you the divine nature. Jesus said, I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now that is not human nature. But God, Jesus says, listen, you got to love those you're going to forgive. Why? Because you'll only forgive those you love. You don't forgive someone you hate. If you hate someone, you don't want what's best for them. You want what's worse for them. How many times in my own heart, let me just give testimony to myself. How many times in my own heart have I thought with relish, those Muslim people are going to burn in hell for eternity because they don't know Jesus. They're lost and I hope they all go there. I mean, hold on a second. Just being a little bit too honest maybe. How many times have we looked at those who hurt us or hated us or whatever, and we've hated them right back and felt, oh gosh. Jesus says, let me tell you something. You got to love those you're going to forgive because you'll only forgive those you love. And beloved, this love is agape love. When Jesus said, you've heard it, when I tell you to love your enemies, He's saying, I love them selflessly, love them without condition, love them willingly, love them self-givingly. I know I've been asked, just going back to this Muslim thing, what in the world are we doing over in Bulgaria talking to Bulgarian Muslims trying to bring some light there so they can come to know Jesus? It's because they're lost and they're going to hell. And either we do what Jesus said and love those who hate us, or we can't really be a child of God. You understand that? Is this easy? No. It's impossible, humanly speaking. But when we love, we're demonstrating the love of God. In fact, one of my favorite verses is Romans 5:8. It says, "But God demonstrated His love towards us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is, while we were running away from God, hated God, didn't want to have anything to do with God, He still loved us, gave His Son Jesus. Forgiveness is love. If you're going to forgive anybody, you've got to love them. It's costly. Forgiveness is willing to pay the cost. It's risky. Forgiveness is willing to take the risk. It's lovely. If you're going to forgive, you've got to love. So to err is human, to forgive, divine. That's not a Bible quote, but it's biblical. It is not our nature to forgive like that. It's not a natural act. It's divine. So how do we do it? Well, there's only one way. Remember, last couple of weeks, I've introduced you to one of my favorite characters in all of literature and film, and that's a fellow by the name of Tevye. Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. And I've got another little clip here I want to show to you. I think we're going to be able to do it. Hold on a minute. Don't start it yet. Tevye is, he's a Jew living in Russia, and this clip is towards the end of the film. They are being told that they're going to have to leave their homes. And the word forgiveness is not found here, but I want you to pay attention to the theology that is being proclaimed here, and I want you to see the answer, because the answer is here. All right? So watch this. Here we go.
Welcome, Your Honor. What's the good news in the world?
I see that you have company.
There are my friends.
It's just as well. What I have to say is for their ears also. Tell me, how much time do you need to sell your house and all your household goods?
Why should I sell my house? Is it in anybody's way?
I came here to tell you that you are going to have to leave Anatevka.
And how did I come to deserve such an honor?
Not just you, of course, but all of you.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
But this corner of the world has always been our home.
Yes.
Why should we leave?
Your people must leave all the villages. Zolodin, Rablevka.
The entire district must be empty. I have an order here.
And you. You who have known us all your life. You'd carry out this order?
I have nothing to do with it. Don't you understand? I wish you wouldn't save me.
I understand.
And suppose we refuse to go?
You will be forced out.
We will defend ourselves.
We'll stay in our homes.
Refuse to leave.
We will keep our land.
Yes. Fight!
What is wrong, militia? Our army? I wouldn't advise that. You have 3 days.
After a lifetime, piece of paper and get thee out.
We should get together with the people of Zolodin. Maybe they have a plan.
We should defend ourselves.
An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Very good. That way the whole world will be blind and toothless.
Rabbi, we've been waiting for the Messiah all our lives. Wouldn't this be a good time for him to come?
We'll have to wait for him someplace else.
Okay. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. We'll defend ourselves. And Tevye is very theological. And he's very logical at this point. He says, great, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. The whole world will be blind and toothless. Makes a lot of sense. But then did you get the question at the end? Rabbi, the Messiah is supposed to come. Wouldn't this be a good time for the Messiah to come? And you know what? They're still waiting for the Messiah. The Jewish people to this day are waiting for the one to come put things right. They know that they need help. They know they can't do this on their own. We can't live right, be right, do what we need. We need the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. But beloved, the Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. And it is humanly impossible to love like God, to forgive like God. But do you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can't forgive like you ought to unless Christ forgives through you. To err is human, to forgive divine. And when the people of God live out Christ in me, they look like Him. Father, help us to look like Jesus. God, help us to drop all the things that we cling so tightly to, the hurts and the pains, those things we relish in. And God, forgive like You. In Jesus' name.